Very excited. Thanks, Danny. I my sentiment as I was coming off the mute was Danny, you being from St. Louis yourself and a lot of our friends at Fleischmann and working with AWPR, we have a lot of friends and family there in St. Louis. So I'm really excited about this show. Thanks for joining us all today. I think this is going to be a tremendous event. I'll try to get in as many of your questions as possible. And if there's anybody that I don't get to, hopefully I'll see you in St. Louis or on one of these calls in the future. But I'll try to keep it moving and get as many of your questions in as possible. Thank you.
That sounds great, Tony. Appreciate it. We're going to kick things off with John Alba from the Takedown on SI, followed by Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk. John?
Tony, you truly are a man of the people, not being able to hear yourself and starting the call muted. You're just like all of us now officially. So
well,
congrats.
You know, I've been through enough of these. I think, to be fair, I have a perfect attendance record.
It's true. That's a fair point. It's a fair point. Certainly so. You are someone who so traditionally have been stuck to the parameters of contracts, very specific with making sure that you're not dipping your toes into contracted talent or someone who might be under contract with someone else. The Andrade news is dominating the headlines today. It seems like he was probably set up for a match at WrestleDream. He's disappeared from TV. Wrestling Observer just reported a few minutes ago that TKO has 1 year non-competes in some of these contracts where a talent is let go for cause. What kind of comment can you share on Andrade's status with AEW and where the situation currently stands?
Well, I would echo sentiments I had said at World's End 2023 when Andrade initially left a few years ago. And I would say that I have a ton of respect for Andrade El Idolo. I think he's an amazing wrestler. And I think that when he left in 2023, it was on a very high note. Just to reiterate everything I said at his departure a few years ago, and I still feel that way. And I think Andrade is a great wrestler, and I'm excited to see what's next for him. And I would leave it at that. Is there any other follow-up you might have about anything else?
Sorry, I was getting unmuted. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Now but, the shoe's on the other foot, my friend.
Well, no, but I mean, was Andrade under contract as you understood it? And were you aware of any potential non-compete at play here?
Yeah, I would just echo the sentiments again. When Andrade had initially left in 2023, I have a ton of respect for him. And I'm saying as much as I can say about it, but I appreciate you asking. And I am excited to see what's next for Andrade. And again, this is somebody that I think is just an incredible wrestler. I really enjoyed working with in the past, and I'm excited to see what's next for him. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Tony. Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk is up next, followed by Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone. Courtney?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, hey.
Oh, awesome. And also sending well wishes to you, Tony, because I know you have a busy weekend of traveling with St. Louis and London on Sunday for the Jaguars. My question is actually going to be focused on Jamie Hayter versus Tekla, because this is the first time since 2022 since we had two women one-on-one with nothing involving both championships. And this is actually a special treat given the fact Tekla and Jamie Hayter has building this up for months. And also there has been a little bit of concern on adding a lot more women's matches to the pay-per-view cards, because mostly it's been one match or two match in the last couple months. And my question to you is regarding Jamie Hayter and Tekla. Is it possible that we do see an increased presence of women's matches, specifically non-title matches, in the upcoming future pay-per-views later on this year, along with a possibility of a women's Blood and Guts match in November?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm very excited. I think it's very clear that we're heading towards a women's Blood and Guts match. The show has been announced, the challenge has been made, and I think we'll have to see who's left standing after the upcoming events with AEW WrestleDream this weekend. It's a stacked show. It starts with a tailgate brawl, which has become hopefully a new tradition for us. It's really a tremendous thing having that hour lead-in on TNT and HBO Max to get people more interested, to show off AEW's top wrestlers and introduce some of our top stars, but also put on what is a great episode of Collision and with great fans. And the fans in St. Louis are going to be great for the whole night. And I'm very excited about really what I think will be start to finish a great event. And that is to say that I think the women and men in AEW are going to put on a great show. I think the women have been having a tremendous year, and I'm really proud of what the women's division in AEW has done in 2025. Of course, we're heading towards women's tag team championships. We've seen some great women's tag team and multi-person matches in recent weeks, including a few great matches this past week on Collision. It was great to see one of the original AEW women's tag teams, Ty Conti and Anna Jay, pick up a win. They both been out trying to tune up, taking on the very top singles wrestlers in AEW. And that includes former world champions, Timeless Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. I'm very excited about the world championship match on this show, Chris Statlander versus Timeless Toni Storm. I think you asked me primarily about Tekla and Jamie Hayter, but I think you asked me a wider ranging question about a variety of women's matches and what's happening. And I think there's a lot of really cool things happening. I thought some of the women's matches and some of the mixed wrestling matches have been tremendous. And I really enjoyed FTR and Megan Bain versus Jet Speed and Willow on Collision. I thought that was an excellent match. And with Harley Cameron getting involved in the aftermath and Harley having her nose broken by Megan Bain, I thought they had a great match last night on the show. And also, you asked me about Jamie Hayter and Tekla. I think Jamie Hayter and Tekla is a fascinating rivalry. Of course, earlier this year, Tekla arrived in AEW attacking Jamie Hayter. So as you mentioned, we've been building towards this match for a long time. Jamie Hayter was out injured, and Tekla has been dominant in AEW. She's never been pinned, and Tekla's taking on one of the greatest stars we've had in AEW, Jamie Hayter, who's having a great comeback year. It's been awesome having Jamie Hayter bounce back from injury and be back with us here in AEW. Jamie Hayter's been a great world champion. Again, speaking of that world title, we've got another great former world champion, Timeless Toni Storm, taking on the AEW world champion, Chris Statlander. That is the first time they've ever wrestled one-on-one, and it is by design. That has always been a match that I knew would be a major match on a major event. And when the time was right, it would be one of the biggest matches I think we can put on, and I'm really excited for it. I think they've been doing fantastic work in the promos, Chris Statlander and Timeless Toni Storm, and in their matches. They're both great fan favorites, Chris Statlander, the champion, and the former champion, Toni Storm. And I've really enjoyed their interactions. I thought they were tremendous in the trios match on Collision this past week as well, which was a great feature for Timeless Toni Storm, Chris Statlander, and Harley Cameron taking on the Triangle of Madness, which includes Tekla, the Toxic Spider. And I think Tekla versus Jamie Hayter is going to be a great match. Toni Storm and obviously Chris, the world champion, Chris Statlander, I expect they will put on a fantastic match. And I'm also very excited for the women's tag team match on the Tailgate Brawl with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford fighting Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. And the Tailgate Brawl is a show that for us takes on great importance, because not only is it leading into a pay-per-view, it's part of that event, and it's a Collision, and it's on TNT and HBO Max. It is far different than the 0 hours and buy-in shows of the past. So for everyone on those shows, it's a totally different role, and it's a frankly even more importance, because the lifeblood of AEW is the relationship with Warner Brothers Discovery, and being on TBS Wednesdays, Saturdays on TNT, and having all our shows streaming on HBO Max. I think that the women and men on this show are going to absolutely put on a great pay-per-view, and it's going to be a great weekend for AEW, just like all of our pay-per-view weekends have been this year, and a really great streak of shows, thanks to the women and men in AEW. And you asked about Blood and Guts. We're building towards that. That is going to be November 12th in Greensboro. It's very clear we're heading towards the women's blood and guts. Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata have been battling the Triangle of Madness with Tekla. Jamie Hayter, Tekla is going to be a great one-on-one match, and there are going to be a lot of people battling and clamoring for those positions. And I think that blood and guts match November 12th is something I'm looking forward to, and I'm really just really, really excited for Wrestle Dream. And I'm really excited that we're just 2 days away. Thanks for asking. And I appreciate your interest in all the wrestling. And thanks for asking about the women's wrestling.
Thank you, Courtney. And thanks, Tony. Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone is up next, followed by Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT. Bill?
Hey.
Bill, can you go ahead and unmute your line, please?
This is good. Okay. It's become a thing we're all in the mute club today, so it's good. We can come back to him, maybe.
Yeah. Let's come back to Bill. Or wait, Bill, are you there? There? Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we got you, Bill.
Hey, Bill, we got you.
All right, third time's charm.
More sympathetic, I could not be, Bill. More sympathetic, I could not be. Hey, go ahead, buddy.
So you obviously in years past talked about how Wrestle Dream was created in memory of Antonio Inoki. But this year, obviously, it moves to St. Louis. So I just was curious how you plan to honor his memory on this year's show, whether it's through video or talent, or, you know, do you have anything you could share ahead of this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm very honored to have the new IWGP World Champion, Konosuke Takeshita, returning to America to compete on this show, teaming with one of the greatest legends in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Kazuchika Okada, competing for the AEW World Tag Team Champions and fighting Brodito, the champions, Brody King, and the ROH World Champion, Bandido. So many great champions in one huge match to have AEW's unified champion, the man who unified the Continental title and the International title, man who I think is the greatest tournament wrestler of all time, and that is Kazuchika Okada, and to be teaming with the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion and knowing the unique dynamic between Okada and Takeshita that's developing. I think there's a lot of excitement on this show, but certainly some very notable ties. There's multiple IWGP World Champions competing on this show. A lot of people who I believe want to honor the legacy of the late, great Antonio Inoki. It was in his spirit that I first conceived this show, and absolutely will pay tribute to him. Also, as I understand, I hope she's able to make it. I believe, speaking of the St. Louis area and the great traditions of professional wrestling, and in the spirit on which Wrestle Dream is built, of course, talking about wrestling's greatest dreamer, Antonio Inoki, and trying to put on a great AEW show, I do think that one of the greatest champions ever in wrestling, and certainly one of the great figures in St. Louis, is Lou Thesz. And I am honored that I believe the wife of the late, great Lou Thesz, Mrs. Thesz, will be attending, and had some correspondence with Charlie Thesz. I have so much respect for Lou Thesz's legacy. When I was really young, when Lou Thesz had his book, which was called Hooker, about his life in pro wrestling, released in the mid-90s, I was like 12 years old, and I used to talk to Lou Thesz on AOL a lot, and he was very, very insightful, and I learned a lot from talking to Lou Thesz, of all people. And I was very fortunate with some of the people that were on my buddy list. And I think that is also in the great spirit of pro wrestling that we're trying to honor with this event. So St. Louis is a city with a great history of professional wrestling. And it includes so many of the most legendary names in the history of the sport. And in moving the show this year and having it in St. Louis, I think we'll be able to honor a number of great wrestling traditions And of course, like I've said in the past, so much of the success AEW's had has been in part due to the legacy built by Antonio Inoki, and I have great appreciation for him. And thanks for asking about him when it comes to Wrestle Dream this Saturday.
Thank you, Tony. Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT is up next, followed by Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy. Samantha?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey.
Great. Okay, just wanted to make sure. I know everybody's been having mic problems today, and I've not been immune to that in the past. So congratulations on the show this weekend. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I kind of want to build off of what Courtney was talking about with there's been so much huge momentum with a women's division. I'm really enjoying the mixed tag matches and trios matches. I think those are a ton of fun. And so since we have all of this momentum building up for them, is this something that we can see that lead into a Women's Continental Classic next year or in the future?
We'd have to see. I think we're doing a lot of great things. And, you know, we're finding a lot of awesome ways with the women and men in AEW to put on great shows. I thought it was a great 3-hour show last night. And I'm very excited for what's to come at Wrestle Dream this Saturday and coming out of Wrestle Dream. I think there's some really exciting things developing in the women's division of AEW right now, which the AEW, of course, all the great things at Wrestle Dream, but also the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championships coming soon to AEW, and more to be announced soon about that. And then the Women's Blood and Guts match, which we're building towards. And there's a lot of great anticipation for that. And then coming out of that, at some point, that I think would be a very interesting thing to try. So we'll keep working and having, I think, what has been the best year so far. And I think we're well on our way to making 2025 start to finish the very best year AEW's women have ever had. And I think start to finish the best year we've had. And if you look at the quality of the TV from start to finish throughout the year and compare it to every other year and honestly look at the shows and compare them and what the week-to-week-to-week shows are, and then realize that it's even, in my opinion, it's even better because we used to only do 2 hours of television, and now we're doing 4 hours of TV every week, and I think we built a bigger roster of great wrestlers, and a lot of it has come from having so many great women come into AEW, and the quality of the women's wrestling in AEW is absolutely the highest it's ever been right now. And I'm very excited about the matches at Wrestle Dream and the upcoming tag team tournament, Blood and Guts. And then we'll keep building from there. And that could be another great idea potentially in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Samantha. And thanks, Tony. Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy is up next, followed by Dominic D'Angelo with Brass Ring Media. Amy?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah.
Hi. So all of my questions about the women's division have already been asked, which is fantastic. So I'm going to switch gears here and talk to you about Jon Moxley and Darby Allin's I Quit match. So there was an incredible cinematic vignette on Dynamite this week where Jon Moxley spoke forebodingly about Darby Allin not just fighting his opponent, but fighting his ghosts. Interestingly, Mox and Darby have been interwoven together from the very beginning of AEW, fighting and tagging together since 2019. Back then, Jon Moxley talked about his ghost that he was fighting and related this to the kinship that he had with Darby Allin. At one point, he even begged Darby to know when to lay down, stay down, effectively knowing when to quit. Can you talk about their shared history over the time in AEW and how they've diverged so greatly over the last couple of years as we head into this I Quit match between them at WrestleDream?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked. I'm so excited for the I Quit match at WrestleDream. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And it's a match I've wanted to see for a long time. And these two have been on a collision course for the I Quit match at Wrestle Dream ever since Darby Allin came back from Mount Everest and got involved at All In Texas. And I think even long before that, we were heading towards this when things got so violent between Darby Allin and the Death Riders at the end of last year. And there's as you said, it's a great summary of a lot of the history that you just said. And in 2019, and from the very beginning of AEW, Darby Allin and Jon Moxley have been intertwined, and for much of the time, they've been aligned. And at the start of AEW, they were two of the top fan favorites. When Darby Allin made his return after being injured by Sammy Guevara at the start of 2020, we hadn't seen Darby in weeks, and he returned in Atlanta to a massive reaction and helped Mox fight off the Inner Circle. And it has been a lot of great matches and a changing relationship. It was a friendship, I think. And they're two of the most unique people I know in pro wrestling, and I'm very proud to work with both of them. I would count them on one hand with the people I respect the most in the world, both of them. And to know how much they put into pro wrestling and the commitment they put into it and the mind they have for pro wrestling, in many ways they are, I think, similar, and yet the differences between them have never been more apparent than in the past year. And divergence is a great word, and it's a word that you used in asking the question. And I think that's a fantastic way to say what's happened between Jon Moxley and Darby Allin, a divergence. And a lot of it happened when Jon Moxley betrayed Bryan Danielson. And I think Darby Allin totally changed how he looked at Jon Moxley. And it was very clear at WrestleDream 1 year ago that this relationship changed completely. And to see Darby Allin's reaction at the end of AEW WrestleDream at last year and see how far this has come, and know that we're having the Mox versus Darby Allin I Quit match, and understanding from being around them mostly every single week for the past several years, other than very few exceptions where either of them has been away, because usually these are guys that come to all the shows and are there from the very beginning to the very end. They're two of the hardest working people, two of the most unselfish people I've ever worked with, yet their philosophical differences have driven them apart. And I think that as a fan of pro wrestling and as the promoter of AEW, looking at this both professionally and as just somebody who really, really loves wrestling, I'm really excited about this. And I say that I thought you did an excellent job in the question, looking back to the history of Darby Allin and Jon Moxley. And I thought that the two of them did a fantastic job elaborating on that and emphasizing it in their interviews last night. Even though Darby Allin's unplanned appearance at DC Comic Con made waves, it ended up being a really great thing for the company. We have built a great relationship with the greatest studio in all of comics, and the brand has created the greatest superheroes of all time and is red hot right now and is partnering with AEW, and being able to work with DC is something so special. And I was so proud to be sitting next to Jon Moxley at the AEW and DC panel at New York Comic Con and have Warner Brothers Discovery plan this event with us, put this on. And on the one hand, Darby Allin breaking in and storming the event, taking it over, and not only disrupting the panel, but also effectively causing a huge brawl, attacking Jon Moxley, breaking a glass water pitcher over his head. It was all crazy stuff. And on the surface, in most businesses, maybe things like that in some companies might be, in some enterprises, in some industries, frowned upon, but not in professional wrestling. That was awesome. And I was really proud to be a part of it that day, just to watch as the fans soaked it in, and to see AEW on such an important platform, working with some of the most important partners you could possibly imagine, with the cream of the crop, with having this lifeblood partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery, and then knowing what a powerful engine DC and the DC universe is to Warner Brothers Discovery, and having AEW included, having comic books with AEW stars linked with DC top stars and some of the top heroes in all of DC. These are huge things. And then to have Darby break in there, if it was a lot of other kinds of businesses, maybe something like that wouldn't be what they'd want. But in AEW and in pro wrestling, we love that. The fans love that. And thankfully, everybody at DC and Warner Brothers love that. So I think that going forward, there's going to be a lot more opportunities for AEW. And thanks to the great wrestlers, and thanks to Jon Moxley, who was planned to be a part of the panel, and Darby Allin, who arrived and created a great moment at the panel. AEW's having a lot of incredible things happening in 2025. I think we're having our best year of pro wrestling on TV and pay-per-view, and we're also opening really important doors. And speaking of opening doors, I think these two open doors back to, as you said in your great question, back to 2019, looking back to their history in that fantastic interview segment from last night. If you haven't seen it yet, it's over 6 minutes. It's absolutely fantastic television, in my opinion. And everybody has different tastes, but it's about trying to appeal to as many fans that are going to embrace your wrestling and put on a wrestling show that you can look in the mirror and be proud of, and know that the fans are going to be proud to watch and proud to be wrestling fans when they watch it. And that's how I feel about this year with AEW, the pay-per-views, and doing 52 weeks of shows, two shows a week. I do think this has been the most consistent run with strong episodes throughout the year. And I am excited to have one of the matches that for a very long time I've wanted to see at WrestleDream this Saturday. And that's Jon Moxley versus Darby Allin in the I Quit match at AEW WrestleDream this Saturday. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Amy, and thank you, Tony. Dominic D'Angelo with Brass Ring Media is up next, followed by Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful. Dominic?
Hey, Tony, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, all hey, right. Man. I'm not part of the mute club, unfortunately. I thought it's pretty cool. I always like that Luthez story that you have. I think that's awesome. But I wanted to ask you about, there's reports about like that there was potentially a developmental training facility for AEW in the works, and it reportedly got scrapped, maybe in Asheville, North Carolina. Do you have plans or an interest to actually start a developmental facility for AEW, or is that on the agenda at some point?
Yeah, I am interested, and it's something I've talked about. I was kind of surprised to see the report because I'm still interested in that. And I would say it's one of those things where you read something and there's a lot of truth to it. But then, you know, when you're around the situation sometimes and you see something reported, sometimes you say, okay, well, that's part of the story, but not the whole story. Obviously, it's a different relationship with FTR and Adam Copeland than it was earlier this year. These guys have been butting heads. They fought in this incredible grudge match, and then FTR pile-drived Adam Copeland's wife and did one of the most terrible things you could possibly do to a family. And FTR are two of the greatest wrestlers we've had in AEW. They've been with us for years, and we're really blessed to have Adam Copeland in AEW. I love all three of those guys very, very, very much. And I think the world of all three of them. I was so proud to be able to go to Toronto and have Adam Copeland and Christian Cage reunite against FTR, two of the greatest tag teams and four of my favorite people in the world. And if FTR and Adam Copeland can rebuild their relationship, that is something I'm very interested in, is having that facility. But, you know, right now, I think if I tried to put Cope and FTR in a room together, FTR would try to tear his head off. But that is and Cope would try to tear their hand, but frankly, Cope, rightfully so, he should be trying to tear their head off, both of them. So I do think that is something that there is interest in. And I do think in the long term, the big picture, because we're all going to be doing this for a long time, hopefully all of you are asking me questions several times a year for the next 20, 30, 40 years, and we all get to do this for a long time, I hope. And I really believe that Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler, FTR, and Cope and Christian, all those guys are people that I want in AEW for a long time. And I hope that Adam Copeland and FTR can rebuild that relationship, because I am interested in that. And I think they would be absolutely fantastic mentors, and they are fantastic mentors to people, FTR, Cope, and Christian. But clearly, earlier this year, the dynamic in the friendship between Adam Copeland and FTR changed a lot. And at some point, if we can all get back on the same page, because I know I still get along great with all four of them, but I would love to have those guys reunite and be able to rekindle that project we did talk about, which is a real idea about having FTR and Copeland with an AEW affiliated training school and working with them and having that project be in their hometown, Asheville, North Carolina. When we started the year, the very first show we did this year was Asheville, North Carolina, Fight for the Fallen, and Rated FTR was running hot. They were doing great. And then not long after, early this year, just months later, we saw FTR betraying Adam Copeland. And certainly things have taken a darker turn, and FTR have really changed their philosophy on wrestling. But one thing that has not changed is the quality of their tag team wrestling. And I think in, you know, AEW's history, they're two of the most important wrestlers. Even though I don't agree with the things they did to Adam Copeland and Beth Copeland, FTR are absolutely fantastic stars. I'm really excited for their match with Jet Speed on Saturday. I think the tailgate brawl is something really cool, and their matches have been fantastic. The mixed tag match with FTR and Megan Bain against Willow Nightingale and Jet Speed, I thought was tremendous, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm excited to see now the tag team matches with FTR and Jet Speed, which I think has become a fantastic rivalry this year. And also with Megan Bain and Penelope versus Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. I think those will be great matches. And Adam Copeland, we're wishing him the best. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, it was great having them reunite and come back as a team. And Adam Copeland's taking care of business right now. And I hope someday Adam Copeland and FTR can rebuild their friendship and we can put that school together. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Dominic. And thank you, Tony. Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful is up next. And I'm going to follow that up with a write-in from Ella J with a wrestling gal. Sean?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tony. We've seen a lot of changes with the way that Nielsen reports their numbers, and it seems to have helped out sports, which is great for the Jags and the NFL, but it seems to have affected wrestling negatively, at least in a public-facing view. I know things are a little bit different because you guys multi-stream to HBO Max, but how do you sort of view that and approach it?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting thing to look at. I'm very excited about what we did last night. I thought it was a tremendous show. We had Collision back in its normal time slot and saw a great lift this week. So I do think AEW, if you look at where we started this year and where we ended last year, how we've been doing, I think AEW is having overall a very good year. And if you look at where wrestling companies ended up last year and where they've been through the first few months of this year, AEW is having some of the best results of anybody. And I do think on TV, when it comes to this methodology, I'll be really interested to see what it means. But I'm a part of multiple sports leagues. Obviously, NFL, we're really thriving and having our best year ever. And being a part of the NFL Fan Engagement and Major Events Committee, we're very cognizant of changes in media and ratings methodology. So I am going to keep an eye on it. I think it's a very new system, and I think it's really interesting to see the differences and try to learn from them. And that's what really business and enterprise is all about, is adapting to the environments. And AEW historically has done really well at adapting. And I think it's a very new system. It's a very new methodology, this big data, but there could be a lot of positives potentially too. And I think it's really important to take this time to learn from it, if that makes sense. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Sean, and thanks, Tony. I have a write-in up next, and that's going to be followed by Adam Bernard from The Sportster. So, Tony, pivoting to the main event, Ella Jay with A Wrestling Gal writes, Samoa Joe recently spoke about the possibility on retirement. Can you talk about how important he has been to the legacy of AEW?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. Samoa Joe is one of the great AEW stars, and I think one of the most tremendous wrestling stars of my lifetime. I'm a huge fan of Samoa Joe personally and professionally. And I think that Samoa Joe is somebody that has been so instrumental in AEW since he arrived in so many different ways. And if you look at how much Samoa Joe has accomplished, I think it's important to note that he has a resume that is unique unto himself in pro wrestling and here in AEW. There's nobody that has done the thing Samoa Joe has done, to be a multiple-time TNT champion, now a long-time and reigning, dominant, undefeated World Trios champion with the Ops. And he's built these legacies as the king of television with the Ops and as an AEW world champion. And there's nobody that has done all of those things that he has done. And I think it's incredible, because at the beginning of AEW, if you told me Samoa Joe was going to be here, he was going to be a part of this, and he would be the world champion in AEW someday, and he would be the TNT champion and World Trios champion and be a leader in the locker room, and that we'd have Samoa Joe in AEW every week, I would have pinched myself. I would think I was dreaming. And it sometimes is like a dream to work with Samoa Joe. He's phenomenal. And from the first time I ever worked with him at Ring of Honor Supercard, when he first came in 2022, and everything he's done over the past 3.5 years, Samoa Joe has carved out a legacy. He's a Hall of Famer in Ring of Honor. And if and when we ever do an AEW Hall of Fame, he would certainly, in my opinion, be a first ballot candidate for that as well. And I think Samoa Joe, to this day and at this time, is competing at the highest level. And it's been very interesting, because Samoa Joe has had a great year with the Ops as a trio. And there's been a fire in Samoa Joe's eyes in recent weeks that I have not seen in a long time in this particular way. And I think it's even, to be honest, beyond anything I've seen in terms of his commitment, both backstage and on screen. I know Samoa Joe is just absolutely locked in right now, and I'm really excited about Hangman versus Samoa Joe for the world championship. They have wrestled before in a three-way match, and that was last year at one of the greatest events in AEW's history for the world championship, where it was the world champion Samoa Joe defending the title against Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page, those two iconic rivals, against Samoa Joe, this iconic champion. And now Hangman Page is carving out his own incredible legacy, somebody else who has accomplishments that are unique unto Hangman. And when you look at Hangman's career and you see that he's not only been in the early years of AEW a foundational figure, and now a multiple-time AEW World Champion, a former AEW World Tag Team Champion, and he had a great career building before he came into AEW. And then you realize that Hangman Page is so young, and he's got such great experience for his age, and he's absolutely fantastic right now. And talk about that fire. Hangman Page in 2025 has had a fire that we have never witnessed, in my opinion. He's been on another level. And since the year started, when he had that unhinged performance in Cincinnati against his friend Christopher Daniels in the Texas Death Match that effectively ended the wrestling career of Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, Hangman Page has taken a turn. And I think he has always been one of the most fascinating people in AEW and one of the most compelling people. He regained his connection with the fans. He always had a powerful link with the fans, but he regained, I think, that fan favorite status. And it was cemented as the year went on, and it became clear that Hangman Page is a good guy. And I thought that as he entered the Owen Hart Foundation tournament and seeing the way he interacted with Will Ospreay and knowing how hard they both fought and how hard they both worked to make Double or Nothing a great show and to make the Owen final one of the best matches. It was incredible. Hangman Page then climbed the mountain at All In Texas. He did what nobody could do, beat Jon Moxley and freed the AEW world title. He's been taking on top competition and a lot of the top villains along the way, whether it's Jon Moxley, MJF, or the TNT champion, another one of the top young stars, even earlier in his career, but also very accomplished, the TNT champion, Kyle Fletcher, and that fantastic main event they had at AEW All Out, over 38 minutes of hard-hitting one-on-one action, just an absolutely fantastic world title match. And now Hangman taking on a very different opponent, a former world champion in Samoa Joe, and somebody that has more experience than even these prior opponents who have great experience, all champions or former champions. And Samoa Joe is truly, in my opinion, when it comes to his knowledge, his experience, and his talent, both as a wrestler in the ring and all of the things that go into being a great professional wrestler, which most of all starts off being a professional, and of course his charisma, and most of all his dominant skill and fighting technique. I believe that Samoa Joe is the toughest challenger yet in this great reign that Hangman Page is having, and I'm really excited about Hangman Page versus Samoa Joe one-on-one for the first time in AEW, for the first time ever for the world championship at AEW Wrestle Dream this Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Adam Bernard with The Sportster is up next, followed by Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media. Adam? Adam, you have to unmute your line, please.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you now.
Perfect. Sorry. It seems like everybody's having that problem. Glad to be a part of the cool kids crowd there. So, hey, Tony,
yeah,
thank you.
Today's, if muting your phone is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
I appreciate that you said that so much because that was going to be my follow-up. So thank you, Tony. I hope you're well, sir. Great to hear from you. I wanted to ask you about Kota Ibushi. Obviously, that injury that he suffered at Collision was very, very tremendously awful. How difficult was it to pivot from any plans that you had involving Ibushi moving forward? And also, I wanted to ask if there was any update on Swerve Strickland's injury recovery timetable and his return to AEW.
Those are both great questions, and I will take them in that order. So you asked about Kota Ibushi first. That was devastating for many reasons. I am very excited and proud to have Kota Ibushi in AEW. And he came back this year, and in the summer decided to have Kota Ibushi versus Kazuchika Okada on Dynamite 300. And I thought this was such a phenomenal main event for Dynamite 300 because they both embody the spirit of pro wrestling that AEW is all about. Yet at the very beginning, they were untouchable for us, and it would have been unthinkable to have a match such as Kota Ibushi versus Kazuchika Okada, or specifically that match, Okada versus Ibushi, it would be unthinkable to have that match at the beginning of AEW. And they did so fantastic in every way. That was a fantastic 300th episode of Dynamite with a great crowd, and they did a great number in the main event, bringing the show up and bringing in new fans, bringing in a lot of women watching the show in the main event, and doubling a lot of the other segments in the show and women for Kota Ibushi versus Kazuchika Okada. And I've always been a fan for many, many years. For 15 years, I've been a fan of Kota Ibushi. I think when you talk about Kota Ibushi, you inevitably, when you talk about his career, very quickly, you're also going to talk about his longtime tag team partner, his closest friend, the legendary Kenny Omega. Happy birthday to the great Kenny Omega. And I'm very, very sad to see Kota Ibushi not being able to wrestle and compete. Absolutely, Kota Ibushi was planned to wrestle on WrestleDream, and the injury was devastating and have had to make changes in recent days accordingly. But Kota Ibushi is absolutely somebody will be excited to have back in AEW if and when he's ready. And I'm very sad about his injury. Absolutely, I was excited for his return. We had gotten his new visa, and I was so excited to have Kota Ibushi back, and to have Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi together in Daly's place and sit in the office with them was a dream come true. And we were having such a great day, and it was just really sad to have Kota Ibushi's injury happen, and I feel terrible for him. And of course, I feel bad for the great fans of Kota Ibushi who support him. And most of all, I feel terrible for Kota, who had to deal with this crazy injury. And we're all behind him, supporting him, wishing him the best. I went to see him in the hospital, and I really felt, to be honest, that he was in great spirits. And considering how much pain he had to be in and how huge of a setback this was to a legendary pro wrestler, one of the great wrestlers of this era, in my personal opinion, who was having an amazing comeback year and was somebody that I had earmarked to be a big part of AEW this year. And I wish Kota Ibushi could be a big part of AEW throughout the rest of 2025. But whenever he is able to return, which he says he wants to come back, then I'll be very, very happy to have Kota Ibushi back in AEW. And then speaking of our great wrestlers and some people that have been out injured, you asked me about former AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland's somebody that we absolutely love here in AEW. He's accomplished so much and has been a part of some of the greatest matches, some of the greatest singles matches, and this year also one of the greatest tag team matches we've ever had, teaming with Will Ospreay versus the Young Bucks, in a match that bore great consequence and still of which we feel the ramifications on AEW television to this day. And Swerve Strickland, as a former world champion, a former world tag team champion, one of the great AEW stars, is somebody that absolutely we're tracking his progress and eager to have him back. I definitely think Swerve will be back long before Kota Ibushi. Swerve was dealing with a serious injury, but not as long term of an outlook. And Swerve, I think, hopefully can come back relatively soon. And, you know, it's not the kind of situation where you'd expect him to be out for a year or more than a year or anything like that. Thankfully, Swerve, it's a shorter timetable. I can't say exactly when because I'm not a doctor, and also I don't want to put words in his mouth for where he's at in the healing. But based on the conversations I've had, and even today tracking on that, I think he's on a good pace. So for Swerve, sooner rather than later, and for Kota Ibushi, it could be a while, but wishing both of them the best. And I was just saw Swerve, of course, at New York Comic Con with DC as part of that great partnership between AEW and DC Comics. And just saw Kota Ibushi under less pleasant circumstances going to visit him in the hospital. And I am very excited to have both those wrestlers back in AEW and wishing them both the best. Swerve Strickland in his recovery from injury now, and also Kota Ibushi with a long-term outlook and a very positive mindset that Kota Ibushi has. Thanks for asking about both those great wrestlers.
Thanks, Adam, and thank you, Tony. We got time for just a couple more questions here. So next up is Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media, followed by Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Andrew?
Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Tony. I wanted to ask about WrestleDream, obviously, and the build leading up to it. Given the injuries and outside obligations with some of your biggest and brightest stars, do you see this event as particularly being challenging for you to put together, given the high reputation that AEW has for delivering on pay-per-view? Thank you.
It's going to be a great, great pay-per-view. I'm really excited for the show. I have undeniably changed things. And I would be the first to say that I would expect this to be an excellent, excellent show. And AEW has delivered great pay-per-views throughout the year. I think this is going to be an absolutely fantastic pay-per-view. And we're having a great year, I really believe, of TV and pay-per-views. And I am going to make some changes, and I'm going to try some things. And I'm really excited about what's to come the rest of the year. We're having a great year. And when you look at 52 weeks of wrestling and all the great events that AEW's put on throughout the year, all the great pay-per-views, and even earlier in the year with great shows, I really enjoyed Maximum Carnage, and I thought Grand Slam Australia is the best episode of Collision that we've ever done. And then several other great shows. I thought also one of the best Collision episodes ever, certainly that did not involve Continental Classic matches, and outside of Grand Slam Australia, was in Philadelphia with a phenomenal show that started with Jon Moxley versus Daniel Garcia and culminated in Mark Briscoe versus Konosuke Takeshita, with MJF appearing the day after his wedding and skipping his honeymoon to set back Mark Briscoe's career. And I am really, really excited about AEW WrestleDream. I think it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic show. Of course, as I was just talking about, there are some changes. I've answered some questions related to some things that I'm going to do differently. I just got asked about Kota Ibushi. Absolutely. I was really eager to have Kota Ibushi participating in AEW WrestleDream. When you talk about the great legacy of wrestling in Japan and the great stars from Japan, you have to talk about Kota Ibushi, in my opinion. And he is somebody that absolutely, whenever he's ready, we want him back in AEW. And, you know, that was a more recent thing. And then we've had some other injuries and changes along the way. Yet, I think this is going to be much like AEW when we adapt and make changes. We have a great track record, and there's a lot of great wrestling left this year. I'm really excited for the remaining pay-per-views, and I think it all is happening this Saturday at AEW WrestleDream, and it is going to set the stage for what is going to be a great final quarter to what I think has been start to finish, in my opinion, our best year of AEW 2025. Thanks for asking, Drew, and I'm really excited for the show this Saturday.
Thank you, Andrew, and thanks, Tony. We're going to wrap things up with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Jason?
Hey, Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Jason.
Hey, I don't know if you want to answer this question, so I do have a fallback just in case, but will there be more than one Blood and Guts match this year?
That's a great question. I appreciate that, and that is a very insightful question. I think I will say that this, you know, we've always had great success, and there are some rivalries in the AEW men's locker room that are really bubbling and getting very interesting. And I know there are forces clamoring to participate in the Blood and Guts match, but I also know that the women's locker room is the most intense and the most competitive scene that we've ever had in AEW's women's wrestling. And we are absolutely, I believe, heading towards where both the women wrestlers and the men's wrestlers will be settling issues in blood and guts. And without committing exactly who and when and where and what, I think we are building towards those things. And our women's locker room has already put out a challenge, and I am very responsive and excited about that. So yes, I do think that that is something that we could aspire to, is having blood and guts men's and women's matches, which I think everybody in AEW would be excited to have, and for many reasons would make for a very compelling and exciting event. And yeah, I think that would be tremendous. I think also when you look at the marketing of it, and even things such as the setup, which is a very different setup than other shows, and what it entails, I think it's going to be a great, great event, November 12th. And certainly the makings are there to have some great blood and guts matches. And on the women's side, the challenge has already been officially put out, and we've had some very intense rivalries in the men's wrestling in AEW, still close to a month away. And I think we need to see who's still standing in both locker rooms coming out of AEW Wrestle Dream this Saturday. And I'll have a lot more to say about blood and guts and the upcoming slate going into full gear, and then the Continental Classic, which is kind of amazing as the year's flown by, and I think in a really nice, good way for AEW. Thanks for asking. Do you want to ask me your follow-up while you're at it?
Sorry, Tony. Hold on while I get him back up.
Oh, yeah, pun and Jason.
hang on one sec. Thanks.
All right, I am back.
Hey, Jason, you said, well, I tried to give as good of an answer as I could with, you know, a lot still to come coming out of this pay-per-view. And, you know, being, like I said, close to a month away and having a big milestone event this weekend. And I think some of these things will be a lot more clear in the coming weeks on television. But I thought it was a good question, so I tried to say as much as I could there. You said you had a follow-up?
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to know if you've noticed differences in Adam Page during his second run as world champion compared to the first. Like, the first thing I see is he just seems more confident this time around.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely think, and I think as a professional wrestler, I think he's wrestling with a greater confidence, carrying himself with a greater confidence. He seems much happier and fulfilled, which, you know, from now spending several years as a parent and building this beautiful family that Hangman has built, I think that goes a really long way. And to hear how natural he was on commentary, and then last week verbally jousting with the legendary Samoa Joe and holding his own Hangman at Title Tuesday, I thought he's just been tremendous, and it goes back a long way. And I think we were starting to see a shift in Hangman last year as he became more violent and started to find himself capable of doing things he didn't believe he could do. And then when he saw what his actions led to, with Christopher Daniels having to step away and retire from wrestling, I think Hangman realized his own strength, realized what he was capable of, and harnessed it. And this is somebody who fights for his family, fights for what he believes in. And I have a lot of respect for Hangman Page. I do think he is more confident and continuously evolving professional wrestler who has gotten better and better and is a fantastic AEW world champion in 2025 and was a great champion for us 3 years ago, but absolutely, I think, has come a really long way and grown as a professional, which he was always a great professional, but he's gotten more experience than just like good young players in sports. You see them with a lot of promise, and they're young star players, and then they become even better and they evolve. And pro wrestling is a sport, and Hangman Page is a great world champion in one of the most unique, hard-hitting sports, and the only sport that goes year-round with no breaks. And Hangman Page is, in my opinion, a great representative of AEW and somebody that has continued to get better and better and work so hard to lead AEW as our AEW world champion. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much, Tony. We are at the end of our time. Is there anything that you'd like to close out with before we wrap up here?
Hey, thanks, Danny. Yeah, I hope I got to answer most of your questions. I know I probably didn't get to everybody. Hopefully a lot of you will be in St. Louis, and I'll try to stay as late as I can and answer all the questions after WrestleDream. I'll be doing some media appearances in St. Louis, so maybe I'll even see some of you there tomorrow and leading into WrestleDream. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you after WrestleDream, and if I didn't get a chance to talk to you today, or if I did get a chance to talk to you today, I just really wanted to thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. Pro wrestling has the most loyal fans in the world who support the wrestling shows year-round, and you have very unique jobs. Unlike people who cover every other sport in the world, you're the only ones who do it year-round, 52 weeks a year with no breaks, and I have so much respect for that. Thank you for covering AEW. Many of you have been covering us since 2019 when we first started and have been talking about AEW and giving us your thoughts and reviewing AEW or giving news or feedback or just talking about AEW for a lot of the past 6 years. And I really appreciate it. Thanks for being here today. And if I didn't get a chance to answer your question, hopefully I'll get it on the next one. And I really appreciate you all. And I hope you all enjoy WrestleDream this Saturday. And hopefully we'll enjoy the tailgate brawl before WrestleDream kicks off. And then hope to see some of you in the scrum afterwards.